Good afternoon, and thank you for holding, and welcome to Grupo México's third quarter earnings conference call. With us this afternoon are all of Grupo México's top executives who will discuss the financial performance of the company during the third quarter 2025 results, giving you a summary of the latest news and addressing any questions you may have at the end of the call. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that information discussed on today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's results and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Grupo México undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. All results are expressed in full U.S. GAAP. The presentation may be followed through our webcast, but if you wish to ask a question during the Q&A session, you will need to do so via phone call by pressing *11. A copy of the slides that the company will be reviewing today is available on the website at grupomexico.com. At this moment, I would like to remind everyone that your lines must be in listen-only mode until the question and answer session. Now, I will begin with Natalia Ortega with Investor Relations. Please go ahead. Natalia, your line may be muted.
Sorry. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Grupo México's third quarter earnings conference call. Sitting with me today are the top executives from our three divisions. During our call, we will be following a presentation that can be downloaded from our website or followed by accessing the webcast. Today's detailed program can be found on slide number 3. I'll kick off with Grupo México's ESG highlights, followed by the quarter scorecard and financial highlights. Then, Leonardo Contreras will provide detailed information regarding our mining division's main highlights, project updates, and comment on the industry's economic environment. He will then be followed by Alberto Vergara, who will go through the financial results and main events of our transportation division. Lastly, Mario Chavez will comment on the infrastructure division's relevant events. As usual, at the end, the line will be opened for questions and answers. With that being said, let's go to our main ESG highlights on slide number 5. Here you can see that we made progress in our sustainability ratings, increasing 9 points over the previous year. This result places the company at the top of the performance ranking in the mining sector, with a score well above the industry average. Next, with the electricity supply that the Fenicias wind farm is providing to our underground mines, we have been able to avoid the emission of 180,000 tons of greenhouse gases so far in the year, equivalent to supplying electricity to 40,000 homes in Mexico. In 2025, we restored 67 hectares at Buenavista in Sonora and nearly 10 hectares at the Ita wetland in Peru, reintegrating areas previously impacted by our operations, and provided environmental services. Additionally, we prepared streams and terraces and installed assisted irrigation systems on almost 200 hectares in Sonora, which will be reforested this year. Moving on to slide number 6, we can see that Fundación Grupo México's health stream offered over 20,000 free consultations in Sonora, making it the most impactful visit in its history. Furthermore, on its 9 previous visits, it provided 59,000 consultations and 70,000 medicines. This solidifies Dr. Vagón as a key traveling health project in Mexico. Lastly, for the 11th year, Fundación Grupo México's Volunteer Day brought together over 6,000 volunteers in Mexico, Peru, and the United States, benefiting 42 institutions focused on food security, children, and nutrition. 6 tons of food were collected for local community kitchens in the regions where the company is present. These actions show Grupo México's commitment to social participation, solidarity, and community well-being. Now let's continue with our scorecard on slide number seven. Our cumulative revenues for the first 9 months of the year totaled over $13 billion, representing an increase of 5.7% when compared to the first 9 months of 2024, and 11.3% higher versus the third quarter of 2024. These increases were mainly driven by our mining division's excellent performance. Our EBITDA showed an increase for the first 9 months of the year of 9.4% when compared to the same period of last year. This increase is even higher when compared to the third quarter of 2024, with an improvement of 15.3%, reaffirming our corporate cost control perspective. Our net cash costs amounted to 92 cents of a dollar per pound, a 17.9% improvement compared to the first 9 months of 2024, reflecting a reduction of 20 cents, and a 24.9% improvement compared to the third quarter of 2024, with a 26-cent reduction. Our copper production reached close to 799,000 tons of copper during the first 9 months of the year, 2.6% lower when compared to last year's first 9 months. Our board approved a dividend of 1 peso and 50 cents per share during this quarter, which translates into a 4% dividend yield and around a 50% payout ratio. As usual, you can find a summary of our financial highlights on slide 8, which is there for you to have in case you need it at any point during the presentation. Now let me continue with slide number 9. Grupo Mexico continues to have a solid balance sheet with over $630 million generated during the quarter. As you might already know, our debt is mainly issued in U.S. dollars, representing 78% of the total debt, while the rest is denominated in Mexican pesos, and 91% of our total debt was issued in a fixed rate. Our stock had an excellent performance during the first 9 months of the year. It increased just shy of 84% in U.S. dollars and over 61% in pesos. On this slide, you can also see the dividends paid in 2024 and 2025, the payout ratio and the implied dividend yields, including the 150 peso dividend approved for the quarter, which will be paid on December the 1st, 2025. On the next slide, number 10, we show that we continue to have a comfortable maturity schedule with no payments over $1 billion until 2032, while our cash position ended the quarter at $9.6 billion. With this, I'll let Leonardo Contreras comment on the mining division's performance.
Thank you, Natalia. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you again for joining us today. I will start today with a brief remark on the current copper market on slide 12. As you can see here, the LME copper price increased over 6% from an average of $4.17 per pound in the third quarter of 2024 to $4.44 this past quarter. For the COMEX market, we saw a 14% increase during the same period. Based on current supply and demand dynamics, which include the negative production effects that we are seeing in Indonesia and Chile, we are currently estimating a copper market deficit of around 400,000 tons. On the other hand, at the end of September, copper inventories worldwide stood at 609,000 tons. We estimate that this inventory covers around 8 days of global demand. Additionally, recent U.S. tariff policy changes have thus far had a limited impact on our results. Therefore, we're confident that the long-term fundamentals of prices of copper and other metals will remain very positive going forward. Now, let's continue with the mining division's financial highlights on slide 13. Our accumulated sales reached $10.3 billion, a 9.6% increase versus the first 9 months of last year, due to an increase in the volume of molybdenum, silver, and zinc, along with higher copper, silver, molybdenum, and zinc prices. Sales showed a 14% increase compared to the third quarter of 2024. Our EBITDA totaled $5.7 billion for the first 9 months of the year, which is 12% higher than the same period of 2024, with a margin of 55.4% and a 17% increase compared to the third quarter of 2024. Now let's move on to production. As Natalia mentioned, our copper production totaled just shy of 799,000 tons, a decrease of 2.6% versus the first 9 months of 2024, due to decreased production in Mexico and Peru as a result of lower ore grades and having given preference to silver and molybdenum production, together with perfecting our mine plans for silver, molybdenum, and zinc in order to maximize economic value. In cumulative terms, zinc, silver, and molybdenum production grew 50%, 14.6%, and 6.7% respectively. Our net cash cost showed an 18% improvement compared to the first 9 months of 2024, standing at 92 cents, mainly due to lower treatment and refining charges, which decreased as a result of market conditions, as well as higher byproduct credits for molybdenum, zinc, and silver. Compared to the third quarter of 2024, net cash cost was 25% lower, a 26 cents reduction mainly due to higher byproduct credits, as a result of higher sales volumes and increased prices. In terms of CapEx, we invested $996 million during the first 9 months of the year. I would like to continue talking about our projects and their progress in the following slides. Starting with our Peruvian projects on slide 14, we're happy to share that in October, Tia Maria received an authorization to initiate exploration activities from the Ministry of Energy and Mines. These activities will be carried out in the La Tapada pit. Consequently, we will soon initiate pre-stripping activities in La Tapada and begin building main project components. As per our Chancas project, as of September, social and environmental management programs are underway in the communities directly influenced by the project, in accordance with the framework agreement signed between the Tiaparo peasant community and the Los Chancas mining project. Also, necessary actions are being undertaken to regain control of the project in response to the presence of illegal mining, control that is essential to continue advancing the development of our Los Chancas project. Lastly, as of Michiquillay, the geological information obtained from drilling programs has been used to develop models required to estimate the deposit's mineral resources. These models are currently audited by a third party under SEC's mining disclosure standards. Also, a conceptual study is underway to determine the best location for a conventional or filtered tailing storage facility. Finally, hydrological, hydrogeological, and geotechnical studies are also being conducted. Now, continuing on slide 15 with our project in Los Frailes in Spain. This deposit is located within the Aznalcóllar mining district in the Iberian Pirate Belt, a metallurgical zone of worldwide importance. The project consists of an underground mine with a milling plant of over 8,000 tons per day that will produce zinc and copper concentrates, with a reserve-based mine life of 19 years and exploration potential. Silver will also be obtained as a byproduct. As a reminder, Los Frailes was awarded to Grupo Mexico in early 2015. In May 2025, we obtained the mining project permit from the Junta de Andalucía. With this permit, the final engineering work started in order to begin construction in 2026, and we hope to begin production by 2029. It is estimated to require an initial investment north of $400 million. As a first step, a water treatment plant will be built to ensure the quality of the water that is currently in the pit. Now let's move to our Mexican projects. We have El Arco, where detailed engineering is still underway for the mill, the SXEW plant, water diesel, logistics infrastructures, and power delivery. And lastly, El Pilar, that is a project that is 45 kilometers away from our Buena Vista mine, will operate as a conventional open pit with an annual production capacity north of 35,000 tons of copper cathode. This operation will use a highly cost-efficient and environmentally friendly SXEW technology. Please, if you happen to have any follow-up questions, we will be happy to address them during the Q&A session. Now I will let Alberto comment on our transportation division.
Thank you, Leonardo, and good afternoon, everyone. Thanks again for joining us. Continuing with the transportation division results on slide 18, I would like to talk about our financial highlights for this quarter. Our sales reached $2.5 billion, a 2.6% decrease versus the first 9 months of 2024, driven mainly by an FX effect. In Mexican peso, sales increased 7.5% on a cumulative basis. Our accumulated EBITDA by the end of the quarter totaled just shy of $1.1 billion, 2.3% lower than the first 9 months of 2024, but it came in 8.1% higher versus the third quarter of 2024. The EBITDA margin stood at 42.9%. The accumulated transport volume was down 4.6% and 4.4% in net ton kilometers and carloads respectively, ending the first 9 months of the year with 1,475,000 cars hauled. As for our net income, it totaled $334 million during the first 9 months of the year, 3.7% lower than the same period of 2024. Again, impacted by it, as it ended the first 9 months of the year with 7.9% increase in Mexican pesos. Lastly, as you might already know, a dividend of 50 cents of peso per share was approved by our board. Continuing with the main variation of our revenue on slide 19, as a reminder, these variations are considered result in Mexican pesos, so this may vary by using a different currency. I will start with a segment that delivered the strongest revenue growth. The automotive segment led with a 35% increase, driven by additional volume on longer hauls and a production increase. Following that, the agricultural segment grew by 15% due to an increase in border imports, compensating for lower local crops. In the middle range, the intermodal segment showed a 3% growth in revenue due to increasing cross-border volumes. This was partially offset by maritime freight. On the other hand, we saw revenue decline in a few segments. Cement and metal showed a 3% and a 7% decrease respectively, both due to MX market contraction during this year. The chemical segment had a 6.6% decrease, mainly to a low demand for raw materials used for beer production. The energy segment showed a 10% reduction due to increase in fuel oil freight. The segment with a higher decrease was the industrial segment, with a 16% decrease, mainly to low demand in the new rail car market and beer demand contraction in the U.S. Now let's take a look at our operating metrics shown on slide 20. In general, metrics show consistent improvement in performance during this quarter, as we saw an increase in average train speed of 16% and 25% decrease in dwell time, resulting in a considerable improvement over 24% in car velocity. As for the rest of the metrics, there was a 1% improvement in average train length, reaching 1.8 kilometers, a decrease of 2% in gross ton per train, and a 3% increase in crew starts. Please go to slide 21, and you can see our expected CapEx for 2026. GMXT board approved an investment budget of roughly $473 million for maintenance, special projects, and acquisition of locomotives. This allowed GMXT to maintain a strategic and steady improvement. Approximately 70% of our annual CAPEX will be dedicated to rail infrastructure, equipment, bridges, and locomotives and machinery overhauls. Another 77% of our CAPEX will be for track and equipment, focusing on sidings, enlargement, and a yard reconfiguration. A $49 million investment is planned for special projects, focusing on key infrastructure such as Celaya Bypass, Monterrey Bypass, and our safety program. An investment of $70 million is planned for acquisition of locomotives. On slide 25, you will find a 2026 outlook that implies between five and seven volume growth, along with 8 and 10 revenue increase. This concludes the general overview of the transportation division. I will now let Mario Chavez comment on the infrastructure division.
Thank you very much, Alberto, and good afternoon, everyone. I'll start by going through the financial highlights of the infrastructure division shown in slide 24. Our sales reached $496 million for the first time for the first 9 months of this year, a 13.9% decrease when compared to the first 9 months of 2024. This was due to the suspension of 4 out of 6 oil rigs since the beginning of the year in our drilling business line, and negative exchange rate effects, partially offset by the operation of Phoenicia's wind farm in our energy business line and integration of the new K8 and Puebla portfolio into the real estate business. Our EBITDA totaled $237 million, a decrease of 28.5% versus the first 9 months of 2024, with EBITDA margins standing at 47.7%. Lastly, net income totaled $45 million, 55.1% lower when compared to the first 9 months of 2024. To complement the infrastructure division highlights, I would like to go through some of our most relevant events on slide 25 and 26. Our energy business unit continued to deliver double-digit growth with cumulative net sales of $234 million and EBITDA of $122 million. This represents an increase of 22.9% and 8.7%, respectively. These results were primarily driven by La Caridad combined cycle plant due to higher generation output and better operational efficiency, along with outstanding performance of Phoenicia's wind farm that produced 533 gigawatt hour of clean energy and generated $27 million in EBITDA. This sustained performance highlights the segment's ability to combine profitability, sustainability, and energy security across the portfolio. Now, real estate business unit continues to post strong results, closing the quarter with $71 million in revenue and $45 million in EBITDA, up 23% and 24.7% year over year, respectively. The performance was led by the successful integration of CAE Los Puebla portfolio, adding 9 power centers, as well as higher lease rates and occupancy, reaching 93.9%. On a peso-denominated basis, revenues and EBITDA rose 35.6% and 36.6% respectively, reflecting solid demand, efficient asset management, and the segment's ability to capture upside from Mexico's expanding consumer base. The real estate platform continues to be a reliable growth driver, contributing recurring income along term value recreation across the company's diversified portfolio. Going to slide 26, our construction and engineering business remained focused on disciplined project execution, posting cumulative revenues of $89.6 million and EBITDA of $15.3 million. While this represents an increase of 5.4% and 29.1% year over year in dollar terms, the results were mainly affected by the completion of large-scale projects and exchange rate impacts. In Mexican pesos, however, the revenues increased 3.2%, underscoring stable operational performance and efficient resources management. The business line continues to demonstrate technical expertise and delivery consistency. It also has built a strong pipeline and is well positioned to capture future opportunities in infrastructure development. Our toll roads business line delivered resilient performance during the quarter, with an average daily traffic of 2.4% year-over-year, reaching 22,760 equivalent vehicles. Community revenues reached 52.8 million and EBITDA totaled 36 million, with only a slight decrease of 2.4% and 1.1% in US dollars due to FX translation effects. When measured in pesos, revenues and EBITDA increased 8.1% and 10% respectively, reflecting sustained demand, solid cost controls, and consistent network usage. With this, I conclude a review of the main highlights of the infrastructure division. Now, I let Natalia give her closing remarks.
Thank you, everyone, again for joining. Now we will open the line for Q&A, please.
Thank you so much. And as a reminder, if you do have a question, press *11 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To remove yourself, press *11 again. One moment for our first question. That comes from Francisco Barbosa with Jefferies. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, all. Francisco Barbosa here from Jefferies and for Alejandro Miteles. I have two questions, if I may. First one, if you could give some color on what your capital allocation plans look like from now on. And the second one, on the railway business, if you are affected by the Union Pacific Norfolk Southern merger. If you could give some color on these two, it would be great. Thank you.
Hi, sorry. This is Marlene. We couldn't hear well your first question. I think it was a technical problem on our side. Could you repeat that? And I understand the second one was regarding the transportation division. Are we right?
Yes, I'll repeat both. So the first one, if you could please give some color on what your capital allocation plans look like. And the second one, in the railway business, if you are affected by the Union Pacific Norfolk Southern merger, and if you could give some color on these two, it would be great. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you so much for your question. Regarding the capital allocation, we will continue further on our, as you know, we have each and on our three divisions, we have our growth projects, and we will continue to work on that. We have Via Maria. We are very excited about that, and we will continue. Each division as an independent company that has to look for their own way of financing their projects. So we have growth in each of the three divisions. Regarding in general, we will keep on looking for the opportunities of growth in the three divisions we are right now operating. I will let Alberto answer the question regarding the transportation division.
Yes, thanks, Marlene. No, the merger between TP and F doesn't affect us. We will, as you probably know, UP is our partner in Ferromex, and also this doesn't affect our market with the cross-borders, all the cross-border segments that are growing, so it doesn't affect us, no?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. One moment for our next question, please. And it's from the line of Gabriel Barra with Citi. Please proceed.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions here. I have two from my side. The first one on GMAXT, the leasing process. If you guys could give us more color on that, next steps, and I know the timeline for this process would be. Talking about the capital allocation strategy here, I think that when you take a look at the company balance sheet today, you have really the leverage balance sheet, it's a lot of space to do, any new capital allocation on M&As or even buyback shares or dividends. If you could give more color on that, as long as I have from the last answer, it seems that the strategy here will be focusing the three sectors that you guys have already investments, but have seen different moves recently, right? So if you could, give more color on that, to be really, really helpful. It's here to be long here on the questions, but my last one, I don't know if you guys could give us some color on how the holding discount discussion it's evolving internally, and how the company believes that the company could, in a certain way, decrease the holding discount in the future, any potential listing in the U.S. or even sponsor a different ADR program in the U.S. in order to have a kind of arbitrage between South Corporate price and Grupo Mexico. I don't know if you guys could give more color about that, if there's any discussion internally to decrease the holding discount in the future, and if it's something that's valuable for the company to discuss at this point. So sorry about the three questions, but that's my questions.
Gabriel, this is Leonardo. I didn't quite barely understand the first question regarding the United States. Could you provide me more color on that, please?
The last one's about how do you guys see the holding discount at this point for Grupo Mexico? So if you take a look on the level for the discount for the company nowadays have decreased when you take a look on the historical numbers. But how much this concerns the company, and how do you believe that this could be in a certain way, not solved, but decreasing in the future, if you believe that there is some ways to decrease this level of holding discount in the future, maybe listing the company in the U.S. or even have a different ADR program. So this is the question.
Yeah, then I will let Marlene and Natalia answer that question.
Regarding the holding discount, Gabriel, I think at the time we have nothing additional to what we've mentioned in the past. As of now, there's nothing in place, but we will continue to analyze different options and share if we see fit.
And as you know, this is something that is very important for us and for the board as well. So we have analyzed different options. We have to take into consideration all the tax implications one or the other could have. So that's also something that we are analyzing and trying to work through. In the meanwhile, we think we have given a lot of, we have been very transparent with what's happening in all of our three divisions. And in addition to that, I think the dividend yield and the payout ratio continue to be very good, as well as the share, how the share has been, the Grupo Mexico share has been in the past, this whole year, actually. Well,
and Gabriel, regarding your second question, was it about GMXT, or we could barely hear you? Sorry.
Yeah, it's about the next decision process. If we could give us more color about that, the timeline and the next steps.
Sorry, we can't hear you well. Can you go move a little bit further from the...
I'm trying to start slowly here. Yeah, it's about GMXT, the listing process. So if you guys could
GMXT,
give us more color on the timeline. Yes, yes.
Okay, perfect. Yes, I'll let Alberto Vergara answer this question. Thank you.
Perfect, yes. GMXT concludes, as you know, tender offer for the listing the company shares in the Mexican stock. The tender offer concluded on October 20. The shareholder participation was equivalent of around 5% of GMXT outstanding shares. With this completion of the tender offer, we will proceed with the cancellation of the registration in the National Security Registry and the delisting of shares from the Mexican Stock Exchange. Now we're currently waiting confirmation from the authority. While the exact timeline has not been disclosed, we anticipate that the process will be complete between December and January. Once confirmation from the authorities has been obtained in compliance with regulation, a trust will be established with a six-month term to facilitate the purchase of shares at the listing price from the shareholders who didn't participate in the tender offer. I know with that I answered your question.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. One moment for our next question, please. It comes from the line of Enrique Braga with Morgan Stanley. Please proceed.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. The first one that I have is regarding the sale of the highway operations. So when do you expect the closing to happen? And is the payment that you're going to receive, is that going to be on the closing day of the operation? Is going to be a different time? And also in the infrastructure division, so can you give us more details on how the operations at the oil drilling are going? If you expect to ramp up the operations at Chihuahua, Zacatecas, Campeche, Tabasco anytime soon, if you could give us any color or expected timeline for those, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Sure, Enrique. Thank you for the questions. On the sale of the toll business, so is the highway and the bypass that we are selling together, we are expecting to close this in the next months to come. We believe this should happen maybe the first quarter of next year. We are still pending on authorities' authorizations, no, to conclude the sale of the highway and the bypass. And the payment, we're expecting to receive it once we get the permits and get the closure done. No? On the drilling business, I'll let Ricardo answer. He's here with us. He's the chief operating officer of the division.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. The relationship with Pemex is improving during this year, has been improving during this year. We currently have only 2 weeks in operation, as we mentioned during the conversation. Nevertheless, we just got a letter where they are requesting another of our rigs, the Chihuahua rig, to start operations during November. We don't have the exact date yet because we asked to Pemex to ensure that they have in the asset that is requesting this rig, the budget that is required to be paid. So hopefully this answer is going to be received during this week. So hopefully during November, we will restart the operation of the Chihuahua rig. We also know that the other 3 rigs in this order, Zacatecas, Campeche, and Tabasco, are being considered by Pemex to restart operations during next year. Hopefully early January with the Zacatecas rig and during the first quarter of the year, the other 2. So that's basically what we are looking at this point of time regarding the operation of rigs.
All right, and as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, simply press *11 to get in the queue. Our next question is from the line of John Tumazos with John Tumazos Very Independent Research. Please proceed.
Congratulations on your announcements to restart operations in Arizona. Do you have an idea what the timing of the Ray Mine startup could be, the Silver Bell expansion, the Hidden Smelter expansion, and the Amarillo refinery work?
Sure, John. Thanks for your question. I think overall we have a timeline of between 3 to 5 years, with the quickest one being the Ray expansion, and probably along that the Hayden smelter and the Amarillo refinery. Silver Bell will be the one that would take a little bit more time, probably a period of 4 to 5 years. We're still analyzing it, but things are underway, especially for the Ray expansion that will take us to double the capacity of what we're currently in at Ray.
Are there any technical uncertainties, different ore zones, different grades, different metallurgies, particular challenges in any of these projects?
I think that we're just waiting for resource confirmation and QAQCs at Silverbell. So that's where a little bit of uncertainty could be, but let's say that it's less than 5% uncertainty, and Ray has no problem at all in that sense.
Are there notable gold, silver, or moly byproducts in the new zones you're targeting?
There is moly in Silverbell, but we don't have
Thank you. Congratulations. To
account it.
Thank you so much. And this concludes our Q&A session for today. I will pass it back to Natalia Ortega for final comments.
Thank you, everyone, again, for joining our third quarter earnings call. We'll stay in touch. Have a great day.
Thank you. And this concludes today's conference. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.